Have you ever heard of mammoth meat before? Oh my gosh, a Chef Plum. You know what mammoth meat is?
Mammoth or mammoth?
I don't understand what they're saying. Is it mammoth meat? Mammoth meat? What does that mean?
How does one have mammoth meat? I don't know.
Okay, so if you missed it, we were talking about what is the food you ate to expand your palate. And by expand your palate, it was a weirdo meal. Something kind of gross and different that you tried. Because Chef Plum was in Morocco, and they certainly have a lot of unique foods
there.
Sure.
Unique is a good word for it. What is mammoth?
That
can't be a thing. That's got to be a misprint or something.
Somebody wrote on our text line that you can order mammoth meat and that it comes from online.
I've never heard of this, but I do know there's some websites where you can buy some unique proteins.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me, even though mammoths are extinct.
Also on our text line, I don't think you could buy extinct meat. Kangaroo bites?
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's the food that you quote unquote tried to expand your palate and did you like it? 1-800-330-9999. Tammy.
Okay, so my sister brought home some salt and vinegar crickets for me to eat, and it was a whole thing. I had to get a little tipsy before I could make myself eat them, but they were kind of good. They were just like crunchy and salty. And like once you closed your eyes and got past the visual of it, like it tasted like you were just kind of eating like salt and vinegar chips or something.
You know, Anna, we're the only country in the entire world that doesn't have insects as part of our regular diet.
Is that a real fact or you just make that up?
No, it's real. It's real.
Oh.
It's real. It's crazy, right? But it's very, very true. I mean, you can take, a lot of flowers, like there's cricket flour, which is like incredibly like good for the environment. And most countries use it and we don't.
Did you like it, Tammy?
I wouldn't kind of reach for it as my like classic evening snack over and over, but it was, more palatable than I originally thought it might be.
I don't want that. I don't want to eat bugs. Why does everybody else do that? Maybe we should.
There's a lot more bugs out there than there are animals. I mean, you can listen, the cruise that I was on recently as the guest chef, every breakfast buffet had mealworms on it, like dried crunchy mealworms that people put on top of like yogurt and stuff.
That's disgusting.
But it was like normal.
I know. I shouldn't say it's disgusting because I know that food in other countries is different.
I should get us some mealworms to taste.
No, I don't want to eat mealworms.
I think you should try them.
No. But thank you for offering. That was really nice of you. David, how about you? What's the questionable food that you tried?
It's even hard to say the word, but tofu. Oh, my God. I went vegan a few years ago, and everybody at first was saying, you got to eat tofu. And tofu is horrible. It's like it's already been eaten. It's just not good.
Tofu is pretty good. You can do all kinds of things with tofu. You can flavor however you want.
You can.
I think you got to have it done properly, I guess. I don't know. Anna, you look like you don't like tofu, huh?
I like miso soup.
Okay.
That has tofu in it, but honestly, it's the only time I've ever had it. And when I eat it in the soup, it's fine, but I can't imagine just ordering it like that.
I get if you don't know what to expect when you bite into it the first time or feel the texture, it's kind of like, oh, what is this?
It's like
what
squishy.
Right. But, I won Chopped a long time ago barbecuing tofu, so I'm a tofu fan.
So wait a minute. When you won Chopped, I remember we were talking about this the other day. You made barbecue tofu.
That's right.
So how did you cook it?
I seasoned up as if it was steak, and I just grilled it, and I put the little hashtag marks on it when I grilled it, and I made it just like a steak. Seasoned
with
it up properly.
Barbecue sauce?
I did it with a rub on the outside, and I served it a little bit of sauce that I had made, and it was delicious.
All right. See, David, you're
firm
wrong.
Firm tofu. And extra firm
delicious.
Tofu. Extra firm tofu.
Put a couple bugs on top. Here we go. Delicious. Have you ever heard of squishy creamed onions to be served on Thanksgiving?
That's not a word someone should use when they describe food. Squishy?
That's what Kathy wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven.
Squishy.
Squishy. Sure, they serve squishy onions on Thanksgiving.
That's the name of her dish, squishy onions.
Squishy onions.
Wow.
Bet you it's delicious.
Is it?
Creamed onions. Interesting. So, every family has different traditions when it comes to Thanksgiving, and it has a lot to do with food. Thanksgiving is our food holiday.
Absolutely.
And food. And I was giggling because last night I was at my sister's house for her birthday, and we were all designating who was going to bring what for Thanksgiving dinner. And we go through all the stuff, the cranberry sauce, the this, the that. And then my mom goes, and of course, I'll bring the tortellini soup. And, and I said, Ma, I know I tell you this every year, but nobody else starts their Thanksgiving meal with a vat of Thanksgiving tortellini soup.
I mean, is it at least turkey tortellini?
No. It's beef.
Cheese and beef?
It's cheese tortellini in a chicken broth.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, shredded chicken with a clear broth.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't know when it started or why it started, but it was long before I was born. It was probably when they came from Italy in the late 70s, you know. And it's always been on our Thanksgiving table. And the truth is that it's my favorite, but I didn't even know until I was in high school that that's not normal. Like, normal people do not start their Thanksgiving dinner with tortellini soup.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. But, I mean, I get it. It's fine. Everybody has to have a starting point. Listen, at my house growing up, we always had deviled eggs for Thanksgiving. And that's more of a summertime dish, but we always have deviled eggs. And my aunt would make a big deal about, I brought the deviled eggs. And, like, yeah. She was acting like she was the best thing. I brought deviled eggs.
Interesting. You know? Yeah, so we asked on our social media pages at Anna and Raven. I said, what's the thing? So Kathy wrote squishy onions. She brings the squishy onions.
Kathy, you got to call me and tell me what squishy onions is. I'm really concerned now. I'm concerned.
Jessica wrote the Jell-O mold. Oh, that's interesting. And it's raspberry and cherry Jell-O mixed with chopped celery, sour cream, and chunky cranberry sauce. It's chilled in a ring mold and sliced.
She's not invited. Tell her she can't come this year.
Sometimes she mixes in chopped walnuts.
Nope.
Wait.
Nope.
I didn't know, you know, like when you see those in old movies?
Of course.
I didn't know that that was a real thing you could eat.
Anyone who puts celery in Jell-O should probably just decide not to celebrate Thanksgiving anymore.
That's not nice.
Well, it's upsetting to me. Celery and Jell-O are not friends.
My mom makes oyster stuffing. It sounds weird, but it's amazing. The oysters make the stuffing really moist and it has a lot of butter.
Yeah, I get that. And very salty and briny. If they're good oysters, it's probably delicious, but just don't use canned oysters.
Do you use, do you make multiple kinds of stuffing?
Absolutely.
What kinds do you make?
So my staples are always going to be a regular herb stuffing, which I use a little Grand Marnier and fresh herbs. Grand Marnier is that orange liqueur.
Yeah.
Then I do.
I like that usually in my Cosmos and liquor cocktails.
Right. Okay, yeah. Or just by the bottle. I know. I've seen you there. I also make
more than once a
Cajun andouille stuffing, which is delicious.
Oh.
Yeah. It's got a little spice to it, which is really, really fun. And then sometimes I'll do a cornbread stuffing with a little bit of jalapeno.
I mean, those are yummy. I mean, yeah. I guess you're a chef, so that's kind of what you do.
It's really simple, though. So none of it's, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's stuffing.
We always, I mean, we're very much more similar. There's a vegetarian stuffing, and then there's a sausage stuffing.
Sausage is kind of classic. Yeah, you know, that makes sense. And vegetarian, I get it. But vegetarians on Thanksgiving, they're not friends either.
Okay. 1-800-330-9999. What is the either the side dish or even the main dish that's unique only to your Thanksgiving table? Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. Every Thanksgiving table is a little bit different. What is the food that's on yours that's probably not on your neighbor's? 1-800-330-9999. Kathy.
Well, this year we invited a woman from the Dominican Republic that we've known since the early 80s. And I said, I want you to bring your comfort food. And she's bringing rice and beans. And I'm like, but this is what she wants.
Yeah.
So we're going to have rice and beans this year.
Sounds great to me.
It's a staple. It's a good food. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very like anything that makes you feel good inside or warm inside. You know, that makes sense. I'm with it.
My sister-in-law puts cornflakes in stuffing, and I can't bring myself to eating it.
What is it? What does she put in?
Cornflakes in her stuffing.
Yeah, I see that, too. She's like making a cornbread stuffing. You put a little cornflakes in there. I mean, listen, anything that can absorb moisture, that's all you want.
Cornflakes.
Yeah, why not?
I haven't had a bowl of cornflakes in a long
time. A little Special K?
Yeah.
Come on.
Thanks, Kathy. What's on your Thanksgiving table? 1-800-330-9999. Tortellini soup. That's what you're going to find on my Thanksgiving table. That's what I've had my entire life. It wasn't until I was in high school that I realized normal people don't start their Thanksgiving with tortellini soup.
So you start with like an appetizer. Do you have the soup to start?
Yeah, and that's our appetizer.
Just
we have like the finger foods, you know, like the cheese and the crackers and all that stuff. And then comes the tortellini soup. And then comes the turkey with all the sides.
Is it just on the table or does someone actually serve the soup?
No, we serve it. We go around, everybody gets a bowl.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think everybody has different Thanksgiving traditions when it comes to their food. Things that are on their table that's probably not on their neighbor's table.
That's the beauty of Thanksgiving. There's no right or wrong, I think.
Absolutely. 1-800-330-9999. Erica, what's a side dish or even a main dish that's served at your Thanksgiving table that's unique to your family?
My family does this. It sounds bad, but it's really good. It's this like vegan gravy. I don't even know what it's like. Uses like nutritional yeast and soy sauce. It sounds like it wouldn't be good, and it's so good. It's like very thick and creamy, and it just, I put it on like, I'm not vegan, so I just like put it on my regular turkey, and it tastes so good.
So I have celiac and I'm allergic to dairy and sucrose and a million things. So anytime that I find something that's delicious that people don't know doesn't have all those allergens, I get super excited about. So you might have to send me the information on that.
I got you.
It's funny, Chef Plum, because yesterday we were talking about the way to make gravy. And last night I was with my family and we were telling each other, you know, what to make for Thanksgiving Day, who was going to be assigned what and all that.
Wait, you were giving people like jobs during cooking things?
No,
like,
no,
this
no.
worries me a little bit.
No. We were discussing who was going to bring what.
Okay.
And we were talking about the gravy. And I was saying how you said yesterday how to make the gravy because my mom makes the packets too. I know that comes as a shock to
you. Come on.
Yes. And, you know, and I told her how you make it with the drippings and the flour. And
yeah.
She also agreed that that sounded disgusting and difficult.
What? It's not difficult.
Right. So when she's talking about vegan gravy, isn't all gravy vegan?
No, because you're using the drippings from the fat from the animal. So now immediately it's not vegetarian at all or even vegan.
Oh.
Like in order to be vegan or vegetarian, it can't be any animal products in it whatsoever.
Oh, no. All right. I got it. No, it makes sense.
So if you're using the drippings, that's not
But if you use the powder from the packet, then you're good.
Probably not, because it probably has gelatin in it.
Oh,
and my guess is those powders in the packet are not vegetarian at all.
Okay. Lou, what's a side dish or even a main dish that's only on your family's Thanksgiving table?
Honestly, I would say curry chicken, especially because my family, we come from like the islands. We come from Trinidad. So it's kind of like a spicy base with the chicken. And it's also very, very filling. So I don't think, besides if they're people are mostly of Caribbean descent, I will say like that's something that on the side of every dish that we have that's it's probably going to be exclusive to us.
Yeah. Do you have turkey too?
Yes, we do have turkey actually. Turkey is very, very fun. Sometimes we can fry the turkey, but more than likely we always have chicken, but we have had turkey before.
I don't think it's so weird to have a chicken dish with a, I guess maybe, because usually it's a ham dish, right, Plum?
I mean, I would think ham, but yeah, but everybody's different. You know, I know families who make lasagna, you know, for lasagna carnival, for something they make for Thanksgiving, you know?
A lot of people on our Facebook and Instagram at Anna and Raven wrote that they have lasagna.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think it's that weird. I think it's whatever makes your family happy. That's what you make.
What does your family make that's unique to your Thanksgiving table? 1-800-330-9999. What's on your Thanksgiving table that's probably not on your neighbor's? Everybody seems to have traditions when it comes to food that is really unique only to their people.
I went to a Thanksgiving dinner 2 years ago where they didn't have mashed potatoes. It wasn't what was there. It was what wasn't there that threw me.
Oh, that would make me sad.
I don't get it. How do you not have mashed potatoes?
It's true. Like, you can have sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes,
sure.
But you have to have mashed potatoes.
They're
there.
Staples. If they're not there, it doesn't really count as Thanksgiving anymore.
1-800-330-9999. Alicia, what side dish is served at your Thanksgiving that's unique to your family?
So, not only a side dish, but we have a special kind of pie that we make every single year. Mm-hmm. We'll make a homemade chocolate cream pie that's literally just like graham cracker crust and basically like chocolate pudding with homemade whipped cream on top. And every time I make this pie for any sort of Friendsgiving or when somebody else like new comes into the Thanksgiving pool, it's always complimented. Everybody loves this pie.
It sounds delicious. I could understand
it's
why it's a hit. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it sounds delicious, but we're basically putting chocolate pudding inside of a pie crust. Then I love when people say things like that and they hit it with, but we're making homemade whipped cream. Like, come on.
You're such a snobby chef.
I'm just saying, like, let's stop acting like we're making something amazing here. Like, this is not a big deal.
But sometimes it's the simple things that your family loves. I remember for years, I would be the one that brought the ice cream pies. Now, there's.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Literally, I would melt ice cream, put it into a pie crust, decorate it, and put it back in the freezer, and people loved it. And
how'd
my cousins and the kids, they could not wait to get the ice cream pies.
How would you decorate it?
I would put like Oreos on top, some M&Ms, use some Hershey's chocolate syrup to make hearts.
Homemade whipped cream?
No, I wouldn't even do it that far. No, no. Basically, just crumbled Oreos, M&Ms, and Hershey syrup.
You don't love your family.
Oh, I certainly do. And they loved it, too. And my thing that my mom always does that makes me crazy is even if we've all been assigned several desserts to bring,
okay,
she buys the store brand cupcakes.
Oh, come on.
And always brings them for the kids. I don't even think the kids like them. I think that she just feels obligated that in case we all forget to bring the dessert, that she has to have something available. I'm like, the grocery store cupcakes aren't even good, Ma. Like, why would you buy it every single time? Because they're always decorated for the holiday.
I was completely heartbroken after I graduated culinary school and realized that my favorite cake that my aunt used to make, and it was a devil's food cake, and it was the greatest thing ever. And I love that cake so much. And when I graduated culinary school, I realized she would buy the box cake mix, and that's what she considered homemade.
Well, I would buy the upsetting box. Also, what I would do is add the Jell-O pudding inside of it and extra oil and eggs, and it would make it richer. So I don't know if that makes me a genius, but it works. And if it tastes delicious, then you win.
Any chance to call yourself a genius, you're in, aren't you?
Darren, how about you? What's a side dish or something that's served at your Thanksgiving table that is unique to your family, you believe?
Well, so my wife and I moved down south. We're northerners. We moved down south for a good decade. And one thing we picked up down south was Hoppin' John's, and we replaced the turkey with brisket. Now we do Thanksgiving at our house, and we have brisket and Hoppin' John's, which is black-eyed peas. And they look at us like we're crazy. But we love it. We love brisket, and we love the Hoppin' John's. And, you know, we have turkey at Christmas, so it's no point in having turkey twice in a month.
Plum, thoughts?
Hoppin' John is one of my favorite dishes, and it really is. It's kind of one of those forgotten heroes of a meal. Generally, down south, served for like a New Year's Day type meal. But black eyed peas, smoked ham hock, you kind of let it go all day long. The whole house smells amazing. Lots of aromatics in there. Hoppin' John is delicious. Traditionally over rice and cornbread. And like it means like, you know, wealth and money, and like it's supposed to bring you good tidings for the new year.
Well, I could use that all the time, not just on New Year's. What's on your Thanksgiving table that might not be on anybody else's? 1-800-330-9999. Chrissy?
We do lasagna.
Yeah, a lot of people do lasagna. I love it.
Yes, you know, so many people wrote on our social media pages that they serve lasagna. How did that happen? Like, how did that become a universal thing?
It's just one of those things that makes you feel warm inside, I think. And, like, it's a very family traditional dish, a lasagna. You can feed a lot of people with it.
Yeah, we do it more than turkey. We still do a turkey, but we do a small turkey, and turkey's kind of at the end where the lasagna becomes the centerpiece. Very Italian family, so we still have meatballs and brujol and broccoli rabe and all the Italian traditions, but somehow we mix it with Thanksgiving traditions of turkey and mashed potatoes as well.
I'm getting so hungry. This all sounds delicious.
I know. While we have Chef Plum here, he's in for Raven, and we're getting close to Thanksgiving. If you have any questions about food, things you're cooking, recipes, now's the time to ask. 1-800-330-9999. Sometimes you just don't want to ask ChatGPT how to cook something. You want to ask a real live person. Good news!
I'm here!
Yes!
I'm here!
Chef Plum is in for Raven while Raven is out. And if you have any questions about your Thanksgiving meal, now's the time to ask. 1-800-330-9999. Kathy!
Hey, I have a quick question for Chef Plum.
Sure.
I love questions.
So, do you ever spatchcock your turkey?
Great question. One of my favorite ways to make a turkey.
Yeah, hold on. How do you say that word, spatchcock?
Spatchcock.
Yeah, spatchcock.
Spatchcock.
Go ahead.
I mean, I do it all the time with my chickens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never done it with my turkey.
I did it last year, as a matter of fact. It's a great way to cook a turkey. So, spatchcocking is when you take the back out of the bird, mm-hmm. and then you're going to smush it down. Smush is the wrong word, but you're going to like push it down flat to where you almost break the chest bone. What ends up happening, it's very graphic, I'm sorry, you're making a face at me, I know. But what it is, you're laying the turkey out flat and you're expanding the surface area. So when you do that, what happens? Come on, Anna, what happens?
Oh, I have no clue.
It cooks more evenly and faster, come on.
Oh, yeah, okay, got it.
Honestly, come on.
All right, so hold on.
And it browns better.
It does, it does.
And browns better.
So you just smash your turkey down?
No, you got to cut the backbone out.
Oh.
So take a pair of kitchen shears, cut the backbone out, and then, so basically, you split the rib cage open.
Butterflying
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Kind of butterflying it. I did it in my smoker last year, and cooked it low and slow. Unbelievable. And plus, you can lay the entire bird then down on top of a bunch of aromatics, or, you know, I use leeks and sage and rosemary, laid the whole thing down that. It gets some of that flavor in there. Spatchcocking is a fantastic way to cook a turkey, and it cooks faster, more evenly, and I think you can get more flavor into it.
Kathy, what I would say is buy two turkeys. Do one this way, and then do one the regular way, just in case.
No, ignore Anna. You're doing great. Spatchcocking, it's great.
Turkeys for three people. And when I do my gravy this year, I just bought some duck fat.
Duck fat.
Can I do that instead of butter?
Of course you can. Any kind of fat is what you want to make your roux. You know, a duck fat, butter, olive oil, it all works. But duck fat, I'm coming to your house. That sounds delicious. You know, ironically, Anna, I was in the store the other day. I had a gig I had to do last night. And duck fat in a spray can, which was unbelievable.
Oh.
You're not impressed.
Well, no, I'm just thinking like duck fat is the new regular fat.
You and I are at different points in our lives. You see how fired up I get about this? And you're like, oh, fat McCann, great.
Well, you know, it's not really my thing.
But I never used it to make a roux, so I was just curious.
It works great.
I'm not even going to lie, guys. Okay. We're gonna talk about this in a second because I don't know what a... You always use the word roux. What is a roux? What is a roux?
It's a thickener. It's flour and fat put together, and you cook it, and... You know, you can do a light brown one, a dark brown one. The darker the color, the less thickening power it has.
Right. Okay. All right, Kathy, was that helpful?
That was super helpful. I appreciate you both.
Kathy, take a picture of your spatchcock turkey and send it to me on Instagram, okay? I want to see it.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
And she brings up a good point, too, about when you have not a lot of people at your Thanksgiving table. She says she has three people, and she joked that I'll have two turkeys for three people. But I think that when you don't have many people, it gives you a lot more opportunities to experiment because you don't have to make a giant bird that a lot of times is dry.
Absolutely. And now you can actually even get, you can just buy like a turkey breast and cook it the same way, so it's just enough for three people. Or you can even get half a turkey, which I saw in the store yesterday.
Oh, what happened to the other half?
Oh, it's going to another three-person Thanksgiving event.
Oh, well, that makes sense. In my mind, I'm like, they just threw it away.
No.
What is your protocol when it comes to sending holiday cards?
Oh, I have very specific thoughts on this.
Well, I don't want to.
I know what you're going to say, but go ahead. Just get it out. Get it out there.
You are about to be cut from my Christmas list.
See, that's not fair.
Okay. So I want to first off say that the amount of holiday cards that I get now versus years ago has dwindled very much.
Of course.
And last year, I came on the air and I very passionately said that last year was going to be my last year sending holiday cards. And then mom guilt crept in. That's the thing about mom guilt. Now, I don't just send the generic card with the picture of the kids and, you know, happy holidays from the Zap family.
You go all out. Your cards are pretty inventive.
Yeah, we've dressed like Run DMC for a Merry DMC Chris Xmas. Like, we've had full inflatable costumes. We've been the nativity scene.
Yeah.
We have done the wackiest, craziest things over the years. And my older daughter, Hayden, has very much enjoyed it, and it's been part of our culture and a part of our family.
She's used to your craziness, though.
I'm a nut. Like, it can be fun. It could also be exhausting. I give her a lot of credit for dealing with me as a mother.
Your husband, I have no idea why he does it. Every photo, he's like, what are we doing?
He loves me, but you could always see it in his face, especially the year where we did Thanksgiving cards and I made him dress like a pilgrim.
Yeah, honestly.
I didn't even tell him until we got to the JCPenney portrait shoot that he had stockings that, you know, have to wear like white stockings to your knees. He looked at me, he was like, are you serious? I'm like, please. Those cards were the best cards ever.
Well, the funny thing to me is that you go to JCPenney to get this done. This is hilarious. Like, it's 1989.
Now, this is not an endorsement for JCPenney by any means, but I have to say that they're down for my nuttiness. When I show up and I'm like, we've got these costumes and all this stuff, they're like, yeah, all right, let's do it. So, but last year I said, no more. I don't want to do it anymore. Like, it's expensive. Let's be honest. Yeah. To order the cards, to send the mail, the stamps are expensive. And I don't really get a ton back anymore because so many people have stopped doing them.
Well, because this is my problem. I've never sent Christmas cards. I've never done it. I just don't do that, right? In my life, I never have. But because you send me a card, that now obligates me to send you one? Like, that's not fair.
No, I've been saying this for years, and I've been telling Raven, too, is that he's going to be off the list. If you don't send me a card, I'm not sending you a card.
Well, ask for a card. Like, you just started sending them to me. Now, all of a sudden, I have to send you one?
Then do you care if I stop sending them to you?
Well, what if I... Yes. Well, okay, time out. If I FaceTime you and say Merry Christmas on Christmas morning, isn't that the same thing? If I call you on Thanksgiving and say, you know what, I'm thankful for you, Anna, I appreciate you, that's not as good as a Thanksgiving card or a holiday card? No.
No, it's not.
Oh, come on.
No. But I thought about it this year because I really said I'm not doing it anymore. It's, you know, it's expensive and things are more and more expensive. And I said, there's no reason. People don't do it. I'm the only one that still does it. And then mom guilt crept in.
Well, you also do it for you, too. You get to have an outlet for your crazy.
Right. But I looked at Dakota. Dakota is my daughter that just turned 7. And I looked at Hayden, my older daughter, who's 16. And I thought about, isn't she going to look back one day and be like, why did the cards with all the craziness end when I was 6? Why did I stop doing it? And that mom guilt got me. And I immediately made an appointment at JCPenney. And I came up with a theme. And it's ridiculous. And I won't tell anybody because I'm afraid that they're not going to play along this year.
Well, see, this is also something you've now created for your children that you have to keep going. So it's not my fault for not sending you a card.
One word. Mimes. That's it. Dangerous toys that you should not buy your children for birthdays and or the holidays coming up. I'm going to put number one on the list, Sky Dancers, a.k.a. the Flying Fairies.
I remember those. It like spins and you pull, is it the cord you pull or you spin it and it flies up in the air spinning around in circles?
So this one is, it recharges. It's rechargeable batteries. Whoa. It's got like the USB thing, whatever. So my little one just turned 7 years old over the weekend and she basically, everybody asked her, what do you want for your birthday? And she told my cousin to get her one of these. Well, the way she described it, the fairy that spins around and looks like it's an ice thing and then goes all around the room. And it's what one of these things are, the flying fairy, the sky dancers. Now, she told my cousin to get her this, but she didn't mention it to me or anything. So when she opened it on her birthday morning, I was like, oh, no, not this thing again. Because my older daughter, Hayden, who's 16, we had a terrible encounter when she was younger with one of these.
Hayden, do you remember your flying fairy?
I do.
What happened?
It was Christmas night. We were at Nana's house and I opened it and I was so excited and we turned it on. And the first thing that happened was it flew up, got stuck in my hair, and then we untangled it from my hair and then it flew into the fireplace.
That was the end of it.
That was the end of the Christmas magic.
Yep, that was the end of the Christmas magic.
The fireplace was on, like it was burning?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, you see all these crazy videos of this thing, and it's legit. Like, I will admit, they're pretty cool, and I can understand why kids want them, including Dakota, my little one.
Okay.
Because it's like they hover in the air, and they spin, and they're super, they're really pretty and fun, but they're dangerous.
I mean, it sounds a little dangerous here. It sounds a little bit, I don't know, like maybe we should put forethought into it. Maybe not have the fireplace going when we
shoot the flying thing in the air. You don't realize it because it seems so harmless. But Hayden, my older daughter, is very responsible, like most first children are.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to play that game, but if you're a mom, you know. And Dakota is a straight crazy person, my little one, and she loves to, like, you know, if she can find a way to injure somebody or injure something, then she's gonna find a way. So when she opened it, I said, oh no, I know what she's gonna be doing.
Dakota, you're a flying fairy. Are you afraid that it's gonna get caught in your hair?
No.
Are you afraid that it's gonna crash into a wall and break something?
No.
How come you keep firing it at people and laughing?
Because I think it's funny.
You don't think anybody's gonna get hurt?
Well, I don't think anyone will get hurt if I try to shoot them in the belly.
Yeah, no, her solution is that she's going to shoot with the fairy. She's not going to shoot it at their faces or in their hair.
Yeah.
She's going to shoot it at the belly.
Well, it's a smart no headshot.
Right.
I appreciate
that. Yes, yeah, that was her reasoning.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So I started doing some research, and it said in 2000, the Sky Dancers were recalled because they were 170 reports of the dolls striking people, resulting in 150 injuries.
What?
Injuries include eye injuries, broken teeth, mild concussions, and a broken rib, facial cuts that required stitches.
Did you say a mild concussion?
Yes.
Little, oh my gosh.
No, because they go. You know what? I have a video. I did have one of them. I'm going to put it up on our Instagram, okay, at Anna and Raven on the story, so you could see what I'm talking about with these things. I mean, she's obsessed with it. And you want to know what? My husband is too. The two of them have been playing with it like crazy. There's some toys, though.
But just shooting it at bellies.
Just shooting it at the belly.
Right.
Right. That's what makes
obviously.
It safe, obviously. That's what's happening in my house, guys. I don't know about yours. 1-800-330-9999. Let's help each other out. What do you think are the most dangerous toys? So maybe we can stay away from them this holiday season. The flying fairy, the sky dancer, that's the fairy that spins around in the sky, like all around your house. And it's been recalled a few times because of all the injuries. Good news, Plum.
Let me guess.
My 7-year-old got one this past weekend for her birthday.
Oh, boy. So it's flying all around your house?
Yes. I've had to dodge it many, many times, coming right at my face. And I asked her about it.
How come you keep firing it at people and laughing?
Because I think it's funny.
You don't think anybody's going to get hurt?
Well, I don't think anyone will get hurt if I try to shoot them in the belly.
She's just going to shoot them in the belly, Plum. That's why it's going to be okay.
Super safe.
Yeah.
Super safe. Belly is always safe.
What's the most dangerous toy that your child has received or you had as a kid? 1-800-330-9999. Diana.
For me, it was like a Barbie shoe. When I was a little kid, I put it up my nose and we had to go to the hospital and get it removed.
The amount of people that have called with items that were up the nose What happened once you got to the hospital?
They just took, like, I guess, like, tweezers and pulled it out. But it was I just remember crying and crying and, like, trying to get it out myself, and I couldn't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents couldn't get it out either, so got in the car, went to the hospital.
Plum, we were just talking about this the other day. The amount of kids that put things up their nose, that happened to your girls too, right?
It's crazy. I feel like it's just, yes, it did for sure. But I feel like it's just a thing they do when they're kids. Oh, let's put this up here and see what happens.
What happened when, which one of your girls was it?
My daughter, Addie, had a thing up her nose. She was sitting in the back of the car and took some tiny little toy thing, stuck it up her nose, and it was stuck and couldn't get it out. But then we went to the doctor and they ended up like blowing into her mouth and it came out.
That's right. We were talking about this, like a Nintendo game. That's how you got to get it out.
Yeah, right. It was hilarious.
A lesson was learned that day, right, Diana?
Yes, it was, and I've never put anything on my nose again.
Yes, so, well done.
It worked.
Look, you did it.
Yeah.
You did it. Maria, what's the most dangerous toy you've encountered?
So I never had one, but I know more than one friend that has a scar somewhere on their face, and when I asked them what happened, it was when I was a kid, my brother had a slingshot, and it starts from there.
Oh, yeah. The slingshots are a serious thing. It wasn't until I went to Alaska for the very first time that I realized that slingshots are for real weapons, and they're sold as weapons. And if you know how to operate one correctly, they can be very dangerous.
I mean, David and Goliath, right? Come on, he took Goliath down with a slingshot. These are definitely weapons, no question.
Yeah, I know, but you hear that, and it's a story. It's a fable.
But, I mean, literally, honestly, this is a ranged weapon. If you ever watched The Walking Dead, they use it there too.
No.
I'm just saying it's a legit weapon.
Oh, yeah. And even like, funny enough, a lot of them, it's not even like they had something in the slingshot and the thing hit the other kid. It's like they were pulling the band back and the band itself whapped them.
Yeah. All right. No, slingshots off the holiday list.
Probably a good idea.
Oliver, dangerous toy.
This might really show my age, but the Red Ryder BB gun.
Well, from A Christmas Story, right?
I was going to say, do you know why?
Why?
Because you'll shoot your eye out.
Right. Did you ever get one of those, Plum?
The BB gun?
Yeah.
Actually, yes. That's true. I did. As a matter of fact, once. Yes.
Did you shoot your eye out?
No.
No.
I did not shoot my eye out, but I get how it could happen.
Right. I'm trying to think, what is the most dangerous toy I ever had as a kid? And, you know, it was a lot of Cabbage Patch Kids. It actually was in college when we had the slip and slide.
This has bad connotations all over the place.
Yeah, that ended up with 7 stitches in my leg. Quite a huge scar, actually.
Really?
Yeah. That's
wow.
You shouldn't play on the slip and slide with your college buddies when you get home from the bar at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
I don't know. Do people want to talk about their health at Thanksgiving dinner?
It seems like very inappropriate. Like, there's nothing I want to hear more than your medical issues when I'm about to have dinner.
It's an interesting one. So, this should come as a surprise to absolutely nobody, but the number one thing you're not supposed to talk about when you're having your Thanksgiving get-togethers is politics. Right. We've known that for a very long time. It's polarizing. You don't know where everybody is, and it causes a lot of tension.
Seems easy to stay away from, right?
Absolutely, right. Even though it sounds easy, for some reason, it still comes up all the time.
Well, Cousin Chad can't keep his mouth closed.
Right, no, of course. So obviously, you don't talk about politics. You don't talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
They say that. You're not supposed to talk about how people look, like their appearance or weight. Like,
oh,
even
take that off my list. Oh.
Even if Aunt Joanne showed up and she's been on Ozempic and she looks great, you can't be like, you look good. You have to not mention it. We have to pretend like everything's, you know.
Wow.
Right. You're not supposed to talk about people
like that.
We
can't even compliment anybody anymore?
No, can't do it.
Wow.
That's what they say.
Okay.
I mean, I think every family is different, but that's what the guidelines, quote unquote, the guidelines are. You stay away from talking about people's appearance or weight.
Sometimes family can be the most horrendous people to talk to in general because they're kind of terrible people sometimes.
Because there's no filter. If you, when I'm around my family, there is no filter. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You speak for a living, though. Are you also guilty of this as well?
No, but I just say it as it is. But what should you talk about? Because that's the bigger thing, is sometimes there's awkwardness. And I used to laugh because my brother, whenever we would have family dinners and we would go out, we go to the Outback. We were big fans of the Outback.
Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
He would bring a Post-it and he would have it under the table with talking points for dinner with the family. What a weirdo, right?
What?
Yeah. I love him so much. But he would have like random things to talk about at dinner.
He had like note cards.
He had like, yeah, it was a Post-it that would have little notes and he would do it all the time. It was almost like a joke, but he would
Come
have
on.
Like random conversation starters.
Okay, well.
But that's what the experts are doing. They're trying to figure out, all right, so if you can't talk about politics or money or, you know, where's their ex, what should you be talking about at Thanksgiving dinner? And the number one thing that people said, Chef Plum, you're going to love this, food and wine.
Well, seems easy enough.
People love to talk about food. And I can tell you, whenever Plum fills in for Raven, when Raven is out, the phones light up and you'll get the most random questions. You'll get questions about, how do I cook this? How do I do this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People love to talk about cooking.
Well, it's universal. Everyone has to eat and they love food and they love to drink. And like, it's kind of a universal thing. We all can agree on that.
All right. So if you were my brother sitting at Outback with a post-it note under the table with the random conversation starters about food and wine.
Sure.
What would be three things that you would say to start the conversation?
Do you want to sound smart here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Great. So when the steak comes out or the turkey comes out, you say, boy, the Maillard reaction on that turkey looks incredible.
The Maillard reaction.
Correct. Because meats don't caramelize. People, like, it's the browning of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we're commenting on the browning of the meat.
All right. So remember that. Bring up the Maillard reaction. Yeah. And then everybody will just look at you blankly.
Or how about this one? Ready? You want to sound really smart? Answer some history in there.
Sure.
How about, the turkey is so tender, Ben Franklin would be proud. You know, Ben Franklin actually believed that if a turkey was killed with electricity, it would be more tender and it would taste better. So we did a lot of science experiments to test that, to see. So we could comment on Ben Franklin.
What?
Yeah, it's a true story. Ben Franklin actually thought that the bird of our country should be a turkey, not a eagle. It's history. Okay, whatever.
All right,
I thought it sounded
Ben
good.
Franklin wanted the turkey over the eagle, I think, is interesting. Give us one more so that we can start a conversation talking about food and wine. The number
Absolutely.
One thing. Yes.
Absolutely. So when you go to take a sip of your wine, hold it up, swirl it around, and watch it as it comes down the sides of the glass and go, wow, the legs on this wine sure are amazing. We better slow down, because generally the legs on the wine, the slower they go down, the higher the alcohol content.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I want the one with the most legs.
Stays on the side. It's like Jello.
All right, here we go. See, now we're going to be all good.
Yeah, Ben Franklin, wine, we got it.
Yep. Now more than ever, tens of millions of Americans are going to fry their turkey this year. It's like the biggest, newest trend that people do.
It's probably the best way to cook a turkey, I think, for Thanksgiving. It maintains moisture, stays juicy, nice and crispy. It's amazing.
Except people make mistakes all the time.
Well.
And that's why Chef Plum has created this PSA for you.
Hello, friends. It's TV and radio's award-winning chef, Chef Plum. This holiday season, we have some helpful do's and don'ts as we remind you of the sacred American tradition of dropping a frozen bird into a vat of boiling oil like it's the Olympic finals of bad decisions. Do thaw your turkey completely. Don't test its doneness by creating a 12-foot fireball visible from space. Do fry your turkey outdoors. Don't do it in your garage, your living room, or your cousin's man cave. A turkey fryer is not indoor friendly, no matter what Chad says. Do keep the kids and pets away from the fryer. Don't let Uncle Rick watch it, especially if he's already had two bourbons and is wearing Crocs. Do measure your oil before you heat it. Don't fill it to the top and hope for the best. This is cooking, not a trust fall. Do have a fire extinguisher ready nearby. Don't think a garden hose, a snow shovel, or positive vibes will put out a grease fire. And finally, do enjoy a perfectly crispy, juicy turkey. Don't become the reason the neighborhood group chat is talking about that incident for the next decade. This has been your totally unofficial, probably unnecessary, turkey frying safety PSA. Stay safe, stay crispy, and remember, friends don't let friends fry stupid. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Should you not be frying anything in Crocs?
Well, generally, it's probably a good move. Yeah, particularly anything hot oil and shoes, not good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are all the things not to do when you're frying your turkey. Give us your professional award-winning chef way, things that you should be doing if you're frying your turkey.
So very, very important with your turkey. First things first, we want to make sure the right amount of oil in there. So the way to do it is the water displacement method. So start with your giant pot that you're going to put your oil in. Put your turkey in there. Fill it with water, right? When that water comes to the top of the turkey, make a mark with a pen or a pencil or even scratch the pot, take the turkey out, right? Now, mark it where it is now because it's going to go down, the displacement. Once you take the turkey out, it's going to go down. That bottom mark, the lower mark, is where you want your oil level to be before you start.
That makes sense.
Right? Because then it keeps it from bubbling out and going everywhere. Very,
right.
Very.
Smacking you in the face, right?
Yeah, very important. And you want to make sure you lower it in very slowly. But number two, we all want to brine our turkeys. Brining is a big method of keeping moisture in, making it taste delicious, getting that skin nice and crispy. You want to dry brine it, right? Dry brining means you want to make your brine, which is usually salt, sugar mixture, rub it all over the turkey, but don't put it in liquid when you do it. Let it sit for about 24 hours with that on there. wipe it all off, dry it off, air dry it by letting it sit out, you know, for like an hour or so.
When you brine it, when you put the stuff on the sugar, you put it in like a garbage bag, right?
If you're, you don't have to, like, particularly if you're dry brining, you don't have to. You can just sit on the sheet pan and be fine, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you're putting it in like a wet brine, yes, that's a whole other story in itself. But you don't want a wet brine when you're going to put it into a thing of oil, because that's bad. Because believe it or not, water and hot oil, not friends.
No. Okay.
Not that's what causes the fireball. We don't want that, right?
Right.
So very, very important. And finally, we want to make sure it's nice and dry, right? So take some paper towels, dry the inside of the cavity out, dry the outside of the cavity out. Make sure it's nice and dry, because I'm telling you, that is the big mistake people make. They don't measure the oil, and they put the bird in there while it's still wet.
I would disagree and say the big mistake that people make is they think they can fry it inside.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know why anybody actually thinks that's a good idea.
It's
that's
always in the garage.
Idea.
It's always when they do it in the garage, they're in the news the next day. Always.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. That's terrible.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who you think is right. Couples Court is brought to you by AT&T, a network that is making connections for Americans. Connecting changes everything. Learn more at att.com. Denise and Steve. All right, Denise. Oh, I feel sympathetic for you. Go ahead. What's going on?
Hi. So I'm 37 weeks pregnant, almost at the finish line. And my husband, Steve, has taken a last-minute work trip that will take him to Chicago for 3 days. And he doesn't seem to understand that this is not the time to be leaving me alone. And he's been a little dismissive, saying that the baby won't come early. But it's not just about the birth and about him missing the birth. It's about him being there to support me in these like last final weeks when things are really, really hard.
Okay. Steve, you know this means a lot to your wife. You're having a baby. Like, what are you doing booking trips? Is it for fun? Is it for work? What is it for?
No, my boss came to me and he said, look, we got a potential client in Chicago that really could turn into something for us. It said yes. And I realized, oh boy, that's pretty close. But, we'll be fine. If we get a call or whatever, I'll hop on a flight right away and get back sooner. But
brother, as a person who's had 3 kids and a wife that had twins at one point, never use the term "we'll be fine." Don't ever tell a pregnant woman "we'll be fine." You don't say anything about being fine ever.
Well, I mean, you're probably right on that, but someone's got to pass the
nurse. I'm right.
Yeah. Well, I just got a feeling that I'm going to take care of my job as a provider, and I'm going to take it.
Denise, he's got a feeling everything's going to be fine. Did you hear him? Everything should be fine then.
Okay, but how is everything going to be fine when I like can't even tie my own shoe? You know, because
I was
so
kidding.
Pregnant.
I was kidding, Denise. I was kidding. I mean, I understand because I don't know the exact stats, but usually when you're pregnant with your first child, if you're having a healthy, you know, pregnancy and everything is quote unquote normal, we all know there's no such thing as a normal pregnancy, but you know, but you're not going to have the baby in 3 days.
And look, and I get it. Sometimes work has to happen. Like, you have to do your job. You have to be able to support your family. You have to be able to do all these things. But I don't know, man, when it comes down to this, the fact you said that everything's going to be fine means everything's not going to be fine. You know, it's that rule, you know, once you say it, you messed up.
Let's do some stats. All right. So hold on. I want to make sure I have this right. All Denise, are you 37 weeks like today?
Yeah, yesterday.
Okay. And when are you going, Steve, for 3 days to Chicago?
Well, it's actually later this week.
Okay.
It'll be, I'm leaving Saturday morning and I meet with a client on Monday and then I'm flying back the same day. So.
Okay. So you still technically, if I'm doing my math correctly, Denise, will still be, you'll be at the end of your 37 weeks. So you won't even be 38 weeks yet. I mean, what happens if you tell your boss that my wife doesn't feel comfortable? Is it a real problem, Steve?
Not really. I mean, if I had to because of the pregnancy, I'm sure they'd understand. But still, I'd hit myself over the head if I missed it. And I want to say I think we'll be fine because
I'm telling you.
On that. I know.
Sometimes you just want to get your work stuff done. And I also see where Steve is coming from. But what do you think? How about if you've been in this situation, is Denise overreacting? She'll still be 37 weeks. She'll be turning 38 weeks. Is it too close for your husband to be traveling? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's a Couples Court. This should be called rolling the dice. You're rolling the dice. So
You are a gambling woman. I've seen it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't gamble with this.
No way.
So Denise and Steve are expecting their first child. She is 37 weeks pregnant. He travels a lot for work. And
and that's not a little bit pregnant. That's really pregnant.
If you go into labor, it's time to have the baby.
The timer is going off.
Yes. And he has been asked to go to Chicago, leave on Saturday, come back on Monday. So it would be right before she turns 38 weeks. I'm doing all the math in my head trying to figure it out.
It was impressive. But I mean, listen, you got to work. I get it. You got to work.
And he says, you're not going to have the baby early. It's our first baby. Realistically, you're not. And I really want to go and get this deal done. And she says, you can't. You can't leave me when I'm 37 weeks pregnant.
But he made the cardinal sin. He said, you'll be fine.
He said, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Tanya, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. Though I never had my husband have to leave for a trip, but my first and my fourth child were both born at 37 weeks. Mm. So anything can happen.
Whenever I hear stories like that, I always panic because if my girls had the opportunity, I believe they would still both be in my belly right now.
Yeah.
They both had to be evicted. They were never going to come out.
I feel like mine, since they went to college, want to move back to the belly.
Yes.
My twins were born at 35 weeks, so they tend to come early.
Right. No, the twins, definitely. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Your wife is 37 weeks pregnant and your boss has just asked you to fly to Chicago for 3 days for work. Do you go? The Couples Court verdict is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more.
That's exactly what's happening with Denise and Steve.
Denise is 37 weeks pregnant, and Steve just got asked to go away, and she is livid. She does not understand how he could possibly do that when she's going to give birth any second, and she can barely tie her own shoes. Steve says you're not going to go. Realistically and statistically, you're not going to go into labor early. This is our first baby.
I mean, 37 weeks, that's really, really pregnant. But work has to happen. I get it. You got to make money.
That's what he said. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm calling in favor of the husband. She's going to be fine. I've had three children. I drove myself to the hospital with my third. She's
going
to be fine.
Yeah, she's like,
she'll be fine.
I don't even need him there. He didn't even have to be there at the beginning. He just chose to be.
It's not a question of whether you can. Of course you can do all that, but you shouldn't have to do that. As a good husband, you just shouldn't have to do that.
I know, but you know what? Men, people like to provide for their children, and that's also really important, and that shouldn't be discounted.
Nice
and
correction there.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Sam, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. I think it would be crazy for him to leave at this time.
Do you have any children, Sam?
I have three, yeah.
All right. What weeks did they come at? If you don't mind me asking, of course. Now we're just getting TMI.
I mean, just personal.
They all came right at 40 weeks.
All right. So, all right. I mean, you're very predictable and not like the norm. And I do have to say at the end, it's not even so much that you're going to miss the birth. It also is an element of, you just want the security of your partner there.
Someone there to even just be there and reassure you it's going to be okay and I love you and we're going to make this happen.
And you're miserable at the end and you want to make somebody else miserable and that should be your right. husband, you know?
Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Denise, our audience agreed with you today. Steve, if it's not going to really hurt your job or your boss and he's going to understand, then why mess around with it? Just stay home.
You know, we're a growing business, and it's a potential client, and you know, there's all those pluses. But you know, I think they're right. I think,
yeah, it's probably the right move right there. I would think,
Denise, you have to be really relieved to hear that.
Yes, I mean, like, I think it's less about you know, me being worried that the baby's going to come, and more about feeling supported in this time. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm the only one who's having to sacrifice things to have this baby. Like, I want to feel like we're in it together as a team.
That's the key thing. I think it has to be a team the whole time, right, Anna? You can't feel like you're by yourself ever when you're going through something like this, and you shouldn't.
And somebody send me an email and let me know what happens, because I want to know if he would have made it to 38 weeks.
Yeah, right?
I'll send you the math later.
She's in labor right now. Oh, my God.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
When Raven gets back from being out, he's recovering from surgery right now. The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot will be $3,300. But while he's out, Chef Plum is in. Janine, you ready to play today? How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I would love to hook you up with this Target gift card for your holiday shopping.
It sounds great. I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Are you good at this game, Janine? I got to make sure because I'm a champion.
I'm going to get you today.
All right. Well, you don't even have to beat him.
I'm on your team.
Right. Yeah.
So this is making me worried now.
Right. You have to work as a partnership. Here's how it works. Chef Plum is going to be giving you clues. You have to correctly identify what he's describing. 5 in 60 seconds. If you do that, you win the gift card. Now, you have an option today because it's all Thanksgiving themed. It's two different topics. The topics are chores no one wants to do or Thanksgiving disasters. Which would you like today?
Ooh, chores no one like to do.
Okay, sounds good.
So, chores no one wants to do, right? And this is great because most of these chores are things that have to do with like Thanksgiving dinner or Thanksgiving meal prep or something like that, okay?
Okay.
All right, no more clues. I'm putting 60 seconds on the clock.
It's just to make sure she knows the subject, you know?
All right, 5 out of 10 in 60 seconds. On your mark, get set.
Okay, you have to take the outside layer off of these to make one of the main side dishes for Thanksgiving. You have to take a tool and slide it up and down this tuber, that they call it, and to take the outside layer off. Okay, nothing there. We'll keep it moving then. Here we go. when we finish eating off these plates, we put them into the sink, and no one ever wants to do this. It's the task no one wants to do.
Yes, wash the dishes.
Okay,
yes.
There we go. Once,
faster, Janine.
Once you are finished with the meal, you've done all the prep work, you put everything into the one bin, and that one bin then has to get out of the house and go outside. What's that task called?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, all right. Listen, we're gonna cook our things in this receptacle here, and inside there it gets messy. We have to clean it out and make sure that it's... I said cleaning, that's my fault. I messed that all up. Okay, next one. Here we go. Ready? Sometimes when you do this, your eyes will start to water. You start to cry a little bit when you're doing this job in the kitchen when you're prepping.
That's time. Yeah, that's time. That was awful.
That was not good.
That was really the worst that we've done so far.
That was not good
at
all.
So the first one was peeling potatoes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else I can describe that anymore.
Yeah. The other one was taking out the trash.
Washing the dishes. We got that one, right?
Yeah. Washing the dishes we got.
Cleaning the oven.
Yeah. We got cutting onions. But 2 is definitely not going to make it. I'm so sorry, Janine.
It's okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We'll take the next caller at 1-800-330-9999 and you'll win this Target gift card for your holiday shopping. That was bad.
I had confidence, too. I don't know what happened.
I don't know.